You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Today's date is Wednesday, the 1st of June, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we have more news stories today highlighting the conflicting messages coming from the government. We had Suella Braverman yesterday, the Attorney General, speaking up about how schools should not be referring to transgender children by their preferred pronouns and should not be allowing boys to go into the girls' loos. And yet at the same time, we have this idea that we should be reaffirming a person's presented gender, and it's against the law not to do that because that would be inciting hate. So we have this conflict here. So at right at the top, we have the Attorney General who is trying to do the right thing, and yet throughout society, and even in Whitehall, we have them doing the opposite. Whitehall civil servants are being sent to gender non-conforming book clubs and being told not to call mentally ill people crazy in a new wave of wokeness in Westminster. So they're literally being sent to gender non-conforming book clubs. It's part of their job. They actually have to go there. Staff at the highest levels of government must also mark World Afro Day and Bi Visibility Day within their departments. And remember, this is under a Conservative government. I mean, once we gave up on religion and we stopped honouring saints' days, I guess just anything goes. And now we have World Afro Day, Trans Visibility Day, Bi Visibility Day, anything but anything traditional, basically. We cannot have anything traditional. We used to honour saints' days and feasts throughout the year, and now we have these United Nations days, these politically correct days that we're all supposed to observe and celebrate. We even have a whole month for gay pride now. It seems like an entire summer. I think we have two sections of the year devoted to the Holocaust, and now we have a day devoted to a hairstyle, World Afro Day. The civil service reportedly recognises more than 100 genders, the investigation found. How many genders are there in the natural world, I wonder? I wonder how many bulls there are that are presenting as bi-curious or gender fluid. I mean, it is only amongst humans, and what it really shows is that human beings are extremely confused. We are confused because what we see around us does not conform with what we are told about the world. We are continually being told that 2 plus 2 equals 5 and that black equals white. And we're being told that men are women and women can apparently now have penises. And this is going on right at the top. This is the civil service who provide the information for the government to go on when they come out with their policies. A source told The Telegraph, "My colleagues and I were informed by human resources that there are over 100 recognised gender identities in the civil service, and staff are permitted to self-identify their gender without any medical input and regardless of biological sex." So what they're saying is that there are actually 100 different gender identities working for the civil service here. I guess people are just trying to be individuals, and it's hard to be an individual nowadays. Everybody is pretty much the same, and people do want to stand out from the crowd. And the way to do that now is to identify as some newly created gender. And again, it's all mainly just based around who they choose to have sex with. If you take away people's genuine identity, which is their ethnicity, then they're going to search for something, and we appear to have settled upon who you have sex with is now what your identity is. And if you say your identity is actually your ancestry, if you're white, you'll be accused of being a white supremacist or a racist for actually talking about your real identity. Whitehall Human Resource Guidelines in the Department of Health's Guidance, Gender Identity and Intersex document states all gender identities are recognised. I mean, how many people in the world are intersex? About 0.0001%. It's an extremely rare condition that appears at birth, and doctors usually make a choice whether the person is going to be male or female. That is decided by a doctor. I guess people nowadays would choose to present as intersex just because it would make them an individual and it would make them more interesting. A second circular lists 12 separate identities in the Network for Transgender and Intersex Staff, which is called AGender. The group is open to members who self-identify as transgender, transsexual, non-binary, genderfluid, genderqueer, gendervariant, crossdresser, genderless, third gender or bigender, and intersex. Well, what about the other 90 gender identities? Are they not being excluded here? Are they not being discriminated against by not including them in this club? Perhaps there will be an employment tribunal over this. We don't want to be not including everyone. We want to be including everyone, of course, apart from those who are white and heterosexual. One official said they were told to spend a fifth of their corporate objective time working in corporate identity networks, defined as goals to make the civil service more inclusive. I mean, it's all about identity nowadays, but if you want to take your identity from your ethnicity, then that is the one thing you are not allowed to do. You are not allowed to organise around your ethnicity if you are white. It's going to be encouraged if your ethnicity is Jewish. It will be encouraged if your ethnicity is black or if it is Muslim. But if your ethnicity is white British, an indigenous European, then you're going to be told you are a racist or a Nazi or a white supremacist for wishing to promote your identity, for wishing to take your identity from your extended family. I really don't see why people have such a problem with this. We all take our identity from our immediate family. We have a surname, we have parents, we have grandparents, we have relatives. And it's just an extension of that. When you talk about your ethnicity, when you talk about your nation, which actually comes from the word natal, which means birth, it's people with shared ancestors. That's what the nation is, not all people that all have a piece of paper saying they all live in the same country, but a group of people that are connected together through their ancestry. That's what a nation is. When you want to define yourself by that, we're told that this is wrong, and yet it is the most natural thing in the world. It's as natural as it is to be concerned about your immediate family, and it's just an extension of that. I wonder what would happen if somebody working in the civil service said that they wanted to set up a corporate identity network for the Indigenous British. I'm sure they would then be accused of hate speech. They said they had to spend 5% of this time in a non-binary network, which included attending a gender non-conforming book club and celebrating Non-Binary Awareness Week. So they have to spend their time in a homosexual network, basically. I guess that's what non-binary means. I think they mean by binary, they mean male-female. So they're talking about having to join homosexual networks, having to read gender non-conforming books, and celebrating Non-Binary Awareness Week. But what about if you don't agree with this sort of stuff? And you're going to then be excluded, aren't you? You're not going to be tolerated within the network if you don't agree with this. Everybody is being forced to go along with this, and it's not something that most people agree with. Most people aren't even aware that this is going on. They just get on with their lives, and they haven't got the time to follow what the government are up to, what the civil service are up to. And it gradually trickles down its way to them, and they realise what's going on by the time that it's too late. And I think this is one of the reasons why the mainstream media and the government seek to silence nationalists, because we are the early warning system. We warn the rest of the nation about the upcoming hazards that are there in a bid to avoid them, make people aware of them, and get government policy changed so that our society is more conducive to building communities. I mean, it's very difficult to build communities when you're too frightened to speak about your opinion. And this is what leads to people taking the law into their own hands, going crazy and going out and carrying out violent acts, because they've got nobody that is actually speaking up for them. Anybody that does speak up for them gets silenced, and they feel that they don't have a stake in the democratic society. If we're going to have a democracy, we need to have talk, and we need to have every opinion needs to be aired and it needs to be discussed. And yet, if you're a nationalist, if you identify with your ethnicity, then you're not allowed to have an opinion. You are not allowed to have representation. Finishing here, the person being interviewed here told the newspaper, "I was hired to do trade policy, and yet the taxpayer pays me to waste 20% of my corporate work time on this crap." So a fifth of their time is spent on promoting this gender dysphoric, gender confusion stuff. Basically, it's all about people who are confused about their gender and don't really know what they are. And we're being told this is the perfect state of affairs to have. This is the sort of thing we want to indoctrinate our children with. We want to get them confused about their gender as well. Well, I'm just glad that the Attorney General doesn't seem to agree with this. Earlier this week, the civil service was accused of having a political agenda to erase women and the concept of biological sex with its use of non-specific terms. Because, of course, it's not just nationalists speaking out against this. It's also feminists, because with this idea that men can be women, it upsets the feminists, because the feminists don't want to have men in the female-only spaces. They don't want to be competing against people that were originally biological men before they decided to start presenting as women. And now it seems the government is starting to wake up. The government is said to be concerned at language that erases women from laws. And yet this comes down from the government, doesn't it? Theresa May wanted to make it so that people could just self-identify rather than actually have to get a medical diagnosis if people wanted to change their gender. She wanted to make it so that people could just change their gender from day to day. And this is trickled down to the schools and everywhere else. That's where it came from. The government are now trying to make it illegal to have conversion therapy, which means illegal to say to a child, "Well, I don't actually think you are a little girl. I think you were born a little boy, and you might be happier as being a little boy." They're going to try and make that illegal. So the government is saying here that it's concerned at language that erases women from laws, and yet it's the government itself that is doing this. In one high-profile example, last year, the NHS sparked a row by calling expectant mothers pregnant people to avoid upsetting trans parents. And of course, the motive behind this is to be inclusive and to include everyone, but it just ends up confusing everything and meaning that we don't have any solid facts to base reality upon. So we end up with people losing their grip on reality. Meanwhile, ministers are to demand that all new legislation specifically references women and mothers in a bid to reverse the march of militant wokery around gender-neutral language. And I'm guessing that probably does come from this new Attorney General, Suella Braverman. I was really surprised and impressed to read what I did yesterday about the things that she had said about cultural Marxism, and for standing up for J.K. Rowling and for women being women and men being men. But we have this going on here. We have the government saying that they don't want to see women erased from laws, and they're concerned about the wokery within language. And yet we still have this directive that everybody must reaffirm the gender that somebody presents as, regardless of what their biology is. And this has caused so many problems. I mean, you now have school teachers in Scotland that are diagnosing children as young as three as being transgender. If a child says they are the other gender, then you have to reaffirm that gender. If you're a doctor, then you cannot suggest that what may be going on is bipolar. You may be bipolar, or you may have body dysmorphia. You may have an eating disorder. You may be autistic. There may be all sorts of other reasons for why somebody may be presenting as the opposite gender. But they're not allowed to say that because they have to affirm what the presented gender is. And we have another news story here about a doctor that has been struck off after prescribing puberty blockers to children. And this is their defense, that what they were doing is reaffirming what the patient said their gender was. A doctor has been struck off the medical register after it was found that he had prescribed puberty blockers to a 9-year-old after just one 10-minute Skype session. Dr. Michael Weberly has had his name scrubbed from the medical register after it was found that his treatment of 24 patients constituted a catalogue of failings. But of course, all you would need is a 10-minute Skype session to understand whether somebody said they were the opposite gender or not. And then if, because of this directive, you have to reaffirm that gender, then they can't say anything else, can they? One of these patients was a 9-year-old who supposedly wanted to be a boy, with Weberly prescribing the child puberty blockers after a Skype consultation that lasted just 10 minutes. Just a 10-minute Skype consultation, and then this 9-year-old could have their life ruined. They could never be able to have children. They could end up with their bones crumbling from within them. They could end up with depression. We heard recently about all these problems that are there with these puberty blockers. Even if they decide that they don't want to actually become a little boy, the problem is, by the time they get to that stage, this little girl would have missed out on all the training that a little girl needs when they're a child as preparation for becoming a woman. So it's not just that they can just stop taking their puberty blockers and go back to being the biological gender that they were originally. They have missed out on all the training that a child gets. If you're a little girl, you get training of what it's going to be like when you're a woman. If you're a little boy, you get training of what it's going to be like when you're going to be a man. And if you've been presenting as the opposite gender all that time, if you've had grown-ups telling you that you're actually going to be able to change into this other gender, you're going to be prepared for being something that you're never actually going to be. And all of this can take place just after a 10-minute Skype consultation. According to a report by The Telegraph, Weberly ran the extremely controversial Gender GP online clinic, which used legal loopholes to get EU doctors to prescribe British children with sex change drugs, with 7 of the 24 patients reviewed by a tribunal being related to the service. A consultant gastroenterologist, the tribunal found that Weberly had acted outside the limits of his expertise in his actions, lacking the necessary qualifications in general practice, transgender medicine, or paediatrics. Well, clearly, he's not an endocrinologist, so what is he doing messing around with children's hormones and prescribing hormone blockers? The doctor is, his speciality is looking at what goes on in the digestive system. Nothing whatsoever to do with transgenders, nothing whatsoever to do with psychology or even endocrinology. So what was this doctor doing prescribing this? The decision to strike Weberly off the register came in the light of the absence of any expression of regret or remorse, insight or remediation from the man, with the tribunal ruling him liable in the future to put patients at risk, bring the medical profession into disrepute, breach of fundamental tenets of the profession, and act dishonestly. So he's just refusing to go along with what the government are saying. So we will find out what his defence is later on in this article. Meanwhile, Weberly's wife, who ran the clinic alongside him, Dr. Helen Weberly, has received an interim suspension amidst another ongoing tribunal, having been previously fined for running an unlicensed transgender clinic from her home. Through the abuse of legal loopholes, the Gender GP service was able to prescribe puberty blockers to children in post-Brexit Britain by using doctors working from within the EU, despite a ban being in place at the time, preventing local doctors from prescribing under-16s such a drug. And that ban was put in place by the courts when they said that under-16-year-olds could not consent to being put on this pathway that caused so many changes once they were an adult, and also led to body disfigurement, basically the cutting off of breasts or the cutting off of a penis. How can a child consent to a course of action that is likely to end up in that? And of course, that ruling was overturned. Unfortunately, that ruling was overturned, and doctors can now prescribe puberty blockers to under-16s once more. But at the time that this doctor, Dr. Helen Weberly, at the time she was suspended, this was banned, but she was still doing it. What's more, in an investigation into the service conducted by The Telegraph, it was found that children could be able to obtain such prescriptions after just 2 Skype sessions and with no parental consent. Not even a parent knowing about this. They could be getting the money from somebody else to pay for this. These doctors were not concerned. After the publication confronted the service about its practices, Gender GP reportedly defended its actions, whilst also confirming that it had prescribed sex change hormones to children as young as 12 and puberty blockers to children as young as 10. So they're prescribing these hormones to children as young as 12. You just try being an adult male trying to get testosterone replacement therapy out of the NHS. It's like getting blood out of a stone. They will give it to young, they'll give it to girls so that girls can present as being a different gender to the one that they were born as, but they won't actually prescribe it to men who need it because the average testosterone levels have dropped by 20% over the last 10 years. So let's have a look at what the Weberly's defence is here. Gender GP operates according to a gender-affirming model of care, The Telegraph was reportedly told. And that's the important phrase here, gender-affirming. That's what the government have said. You have to affirm a person's presented gender. If you don't do that, then that's hate speech. You're inciting hate against them. You could run the risk of being taken to prison and being accused of basically murder or terrorism. I mean, that's how serious this is. This accusation of incitement to hate and breaking the Public Order Act, they say that it's language that is sufficiently extreme enough to cause somebody to go out and kill a minority. And a possibly unintended side effect of that is that doctors cannot suggest that somebody might actually have a different condition than gender dysphoria if they present as being gender dysphoric, because it's going to be hate speech if they say otherwise. So this clinic here, this transgender clinic, this was their defence. They were operating according to a gender-affirming model of care. They say transgender patients of all ages who come to our service can be assured of receiving belief, support, and compassionate access to medical care. So once the person said, I'm actually the opposite gender, then these doctors just provided everything to them, believing that what they were doing was the right thing because they were affirming the gender of the person presenting it to them. The service proceeded to denounce the British publication's investigation from its website, saying that the organisation would continue to do everything that we can to ensure that those people who need care have access to it. Gender GP is an international organisation which operates 100% legally, and we are committed to improving trans healthcare at a fundamental level throughout the world, it claimed back in 2021, before Michael Weberly had his licence to practice revoked. The scandal is not that Gender GP is providing care, but that national healthcare providers are withholding care, the organisation also claimed. We will never give up. So that's what they were doing. They were reaffirming the patient's presented gender and then providing the hormones or the puberty blockers that the patient was asking for, and they believed that they were doing so within the law, because that's what the law says, that's what the guidelines are, that you have to reaffirm a person's presented gender. Moving on to a bit of good news here to finish the podcast off with. Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orbán will impose a temporary windfall tax on banks and multinationals, which he says are profiting from the Ukraine war, in order to protect Hungarians from energy bill increases and enhance the domestic military. And Viktor Orbán has also prevented the EU from putting full-scale sanctions on oil imports into the European Union. They managed to prevent it applying to pipeline oil because Viktor Orbán does not want to see the Hungarians suffering from sanctions. The rest of Europe is really going to suffer from not accepting Russian oil, but Orbán is not going to do that because he knows that it's going to make the Hungarians suffer. He says the war is dragging on and the sanctions policy from Brussels is not improving. And he assented to early moves to impose penalties on Russia, despite some reservations, such as removing them from SWIFT, but is blocking the European Union's proposed embargo on Russian oil on the grounds that it will harm his own citizens more than it will harm Vladimir Putin. Together, these factors are leading to dramatic price rises, continued Orbán's statement, a translation of which has been received, suggesting that his government's moves to freeze household energy bills have protected Hungarians from the worst effects of the energy crisis, but conceding that the price of energy is rising further, and so it is becoming increasingly difficult and costly to protect families. Meanwhile, rising interest rates and prices are enabling banks and large multinational corporations to make extraordinarily high profits, he added, leaning into a habit of critiquing the big businesses beloved by many American and Western European fiscal conservatives, which has seen his government accused of being both far-right and communist by foreign critics, depending on their own political leanings. With war raging in neighbouring Ukraine and a cost of living crisis gripping much of the Western world, however, Orbán insisted that Hungary needs money to build up the armed forces and to ensure it can continue shielding families from skyrocketing bills, and that as a result, his government would henceforth oblige banks, insurance companies, large retail chains, businesses involved in the energy industry and trade, telecommunications companies and airlines to pay a large part of their extra profits into funds for the military and the maintenance of household energy discounts. So the banks are going to be paying for the cost of living crisis in Hungary. Orbán claimed that this effective windfall tax would be limited in time, covering only 22 and 23, adding, "We are asking and expecting those who are making extra profits in the current war situation to help people and contribute to the costs of the country's defence." So these companies that are making a profit out of the war are going to be directing their profit to the Hungarian people. In line with our earlier commitments, in the prolonged war situation, we shall continue to protect families, pensioners, jobs and reductions in household energy bills, he vowed. And I'm very surprised to read that the United Kingdom is thinking of doing something similar. Similar action is being taken, not without controversy, outside the European Union in the continent's far west, in the United Kingdom. The centre-right, or I would say nominally Conservative Party government, led by Boris Johnson, is planning a 25% windfall tax on the oil and gas industry, who have not been especially well served by the green-obsessed government as things stand, chiefly to provide some families on means-tested state benefits a one-off grant of £650. There's no way that Boris Johnson's government are going to start taxing the banks, is there? But they are going to go after the oil and gas industry. Rishi Sunak said the oil and gas sector is making extraordinary profits, not as the result of recent changes to risk-taking or innovation or efficiency, but as the result of surging global commodity prices, driven in part by Russia's war. Well, they're really driven in part by the sanctions policy of the West. Russia is offering their oil and gas at rock-bottom prices if people are prepared to pay in rubles. Sunak claimed the government will never stop trying to help people. whilst admitting that the inflationary crisis was causing acute distress for the people of this country. Well, it's not going to cause distress for the people of Hungary, because Hungary's government is putting the needs of the Hungarians above the ideological needs of the EU wishing to punish Russia. And even though Britain is outside of the EU, they are still tied in with EU and American policy, and Britain appears to be one of the most anti-Russian countries out there when you look at the rhetoric that actually comes from the government. You really would think that they would actually put their people first rather than this ideological drive to somehow punish Russia. I mean, these sanctions are just driving the Russians to produce everything all for themselves, and they're able to do that. They have a huge country there. They stretch all the way from the east to the west. If there is one country in the world that is capable of providing everything that it needs for itself, it's Russia. Sanctions are just not going to hurt them. They are just going to hurt us, but they're not going to hurt the people of Hungary, thanks to Viktor Orban. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.